With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin, joining me as ever, fresh from surgery. He's fighting back with his brand new dinkle. Christopher, Willy Yum Yum, no longer Willy Glum Glum. Glasson,
hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I've betrayed the Cavaliers and I'm now a roundhead.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Head over to Patreon because we've got the D-Day episode. We go into it. We have the full episode breakdown of Chris's surgery from part one smashed avocado to gleaming new 9 inches of cold steel. You get the full story.
Yeah.
Plus you get the full voyeur story as well of the people that seem to find it very interesting what happened to Chris's dinkle.
Yeah.
So head over to Patreon to get access to that. Hundreds of other episodes. Watch all the episodes. Watch this episode. And yeah, since we've done the giveaway to use, where we've done the week of free Patreon taster episodes, we've had a lovely bundle of you come over and join Patreon. So thanks loads. And
yes,
other thanks go to our lovely sponsors. Should we get a word from them, Chris?
Let's hear it.
Okay, first up, we have a brand new message from our sponsor, love-beer.co.uk. Charles says, we're delivering to home and office bars in and around London, including Essex, Kent, Hertfordshire and more.
We're a one-stop shop for everything you need to pour a beer at home, from installation of the equipment through to delivering kegs straight to the bar.
This year, with rugby and World Cups, we're also developing our hire equipment with a quick and easy-to-use solution to have kegs at home. For about $3.20 a pint, we can install a keg with all the equipment you need to pour beer for up to 2 weeks.
Yes, all the equipment we provide can dispense up to 2 kegs at the same time. So if you wanted a lager and one of my amazing craft beers we featured previously on the podcast, then the per pint cost will be even lower, and the equipment we use will keep it pouring properly for the full 2 weeks without you having to do a thing.
The only thing you have to do is go to love-beer.co.uk.
Bangboomcreative.com. That's where you need to go for the very best in film, photography and production work.
Absolutely. Handsome Luke and his team over at Bang Boom have been proud sponsors of ours for bloody ages.
Yeah, and we can tell you two things about them. Number one, their stuff is excellent. They work for massive global brands, charities and companies of all shapes and sizes.
The content they create does really, really deliver. We've done shoots with Luke. Loads of the people, our partners over at the network and our mates have done shoots with Luke. Always banging and they're always getting results.
Yes. And number two, they're just bloody nice to work with. The team at Bang Boom always give it their all. The business ethics are sound and they're a bunch of warm, proper, decent people.
So if you need some great visuals from a truly excellent company, check out bangboomcreative.com. Sponsors of Hardcore Listing. The world can seem like a strange and sometimes dangerous place. With Samet Academy helping you with your martial arts training, you can always feel safe. Dangerous loners are everywhere. They come across as harmless board game geeks or indie music fanatics, but the reality is far more sinister.
Yes. Renchi Simon James has been training karate for over 32 years and teaching for 28. He knows through first-hand experience that martial arts can give you the stress release you've been looking for. It can teach you life lessons along with fitness and, more importantly, peace. At Sama, he teaches karate, kickboxing, tai chi and MMA to all ages, from children as young as 4 to the very elderly, even Stu.
What? Aside from that, he also teaches ladies self-defense, self-defense courses, team-building courses, corporate training days, apprenticeships to become a martial arts instructor for SAMA.
Yeah, he even teaches a parent and baby self-defense course. That's defense while carrying your child, not defense against maniacal murder babies, because we all know there's no defense against them. So go hit Simon up at sama-academy.co.uk.
So there you have it. There's our wonderful sponsors. And thank you to all the messages of support from our patrons and all our general support from our patrons. Simon Lovell, a long-standing patron and friend of the podcast, he's been giving me a lot of support. And interestingly enough, he chose today's top five.
Mm.
Do you want to read out the title?
I haven't got it in front of me.
Well, my phone died. Right,
let me grab my phone. It was top five things that makes
people a beautiful. Person.
Yeah, basically, yeah, makes a nice person, essentially, was it. He sent that a while ago. I was trawling through some of the old social media posts where we put out for ideas for top fives. Always, always drop us a message on Insta or on the Patreon, if you're a patron, of ideas for top fives, because we always need them. So,
you guys come up with some absolutely corking ones. I think this is a really nice one from Si.
Yeah,
Things that make people, you know, just nice things that make people. Shall I start? Make people a beautiful person.
You sounds like you want to.
Just a really nice pair of tits.
That's my number one.
Is it just going to be a really vacuous, shallow episode? No, obviously. I mean, not everyone. Most men do like boobies, and girls, we like all boobs. We just, you know, they're all fantastic. So that's just a shout out to every pair of boobs.
I'm not so keen on my own.
Oh, yeah, no. Molly was pointing out my... Yeah, so she was pointing out my right breast going, that one's got bigger.
Jesus Christ, she's ruthless, mate. You're sitting there with a fucking... Literally looks like someone's fucking done a wheel spin through a ginster's between your legs. And like, and fucking hell, and she's dishing you more grief.
You know what? I personally don't mind. Like, I think to each their own, and everyone should be treated like with a, like how you know they should be treated, really, and how they like to. But for me, I have like the last like obviously since I broke my collarbone, it's been difficult to exercise, and I have been eating badly. I've had a poor diet, and it's showing in my body. And Molly's sort of like, you know what, mate? You're getting a little bit, you know. It's not just the external thing, it's the inside. It's all showing signs that you're probably not looking after yourself. She's absolutely right, so I don't actually mind it. And I've got, you know, as we know, I mean, we just did a 30-minute episode about my Johnson. Like, if I was that sensitive about those things, I'm sure she wouldn't say those things. And we find it very funny. Anyway, tits are great, except for sometimes my own. So my number five, things that make people beautiful. I like people who don't engage in small talk about others and being judgmental about others, too judgmental. And actually
say that again, because you only said judgmental three times. What do you mean?
You really prick. I don't like people who spend most of their time talking about small stuff that other people have done or said or they've observed.
Haven't we made this whole podcast about slagging off fucking the sort of things that Scroobius Pip does that annoy us?
He's more that than what we are. He's got lists on his phone about things that I said 3 years ago.
My neighbour across the road, there was like a little street party thing for the Jubilee thing that I had to go. Not that I'm on board with any of that, but you know you have to do your neighbourly thing. And he pulled up his list of top. It wasn't even top five. It was top 30 people he'd like to punch in the face. Wow. And then he literally went through it with me and explains that once a month he goes through it, updates it, you know, some people no longer bother it. It was fucking remarkable.
Imagine living
and
like
James
that.
Corden weren't on there.
Imagine living like that when misery loves company. And I once read something about the fact if you have feelings of anger or mistrust about people, the person that affects the most is you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you think that's a sad thing. I thought it was fucking amazing. The effort blew me away.
I just don't like small talk about people. I sometimes find myself getting pulled into it, and sometimes I initiate it. I'm not saying I'm holier than thou. I can fall foul of the attributes that I don't like to see in others.
It's easy to do, isn't it?
It is easy to do. But
it's easy to then think, oh, if this was people talking about me, it'd be horrible.
Yeah, like I don't like I think like my girlfriend is very nuts because I wrote this and my girlfriend said, "Oh, do you not think that's me?" And I said, I kind of said to Molly, "You're like the most nosy person I've ever met, but she's also the least judgmental person I've ever met." My girlfriend, she always will say, "But you don't, yeah. But what happens if this? What if they're doing that on that day? What happens if they've had a bad day here? And what happens if that?" And you don't know what their backgrounds are or how they've been treated. It's so...
God, I just want to slag them off, Molly. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's got to be all nice and beautiful. And like... But yeah, no, she's non-judgmental. But also... Yeah, it's that thing where people just spend their time going... Do you know... You know what, right? It's the same thing of speaking quietly in the corner about somebody who's also in the room. Like, so someone who doesn't engage in those things and actually talks about things they aspire to and the bigger things that are happening in the world and in their community... That, I think, makes you look like a beautiful person, you know, someone who's switched on. So that's my number five, someone who's not engaged, who doesn't engage in small talk. What's yours?
I really like people that engage in small talk.
Oh, okay, yeah, come on.
Now, do you know what, right? Like, I like small talk. And when I say small talk, limited vocabulary, yeah. I like having small talk, and I don't mean like talking about other people, not at all, but like things like, I guess where this very kind of podcast mm-hmm. comes from, you know, the idea of like top five animals you think you could beat in a fight. Like, yeah. I love a bit of that. Yeah, that's so not my I. number five. My number five, I like people that are ambitious, and when I say that, I don't mean like fucking some Gordon Gekko type prick that's treading all over anyone to fucking get a promotion. But like, so like sort of people that have got like ideas where they want to go and ideas that they like to have a go at and drive. Like, I like that. I like that quality in people, and because it inspires me. Mm. And it sounds quite self-serving. That, like, it, you know, I get something from that. But, yeah, I just really like chatting to people that go, oh, yeah, like, what about, like, yeah, could do that. And, like, what? And I like them kind of conversations of, like, you know, what could we do? You know, this is what we've got. Where can we? I mean, we have conversations about the podcast. What can we do with it? You know, we was talking about Twitch the other day. And it was, like, and it just come through, you know, obviously Pip's just, like, all over it at the moment. Mm-hmm. And Adam from Pod Bibles got involved in it. And I'm like, right, well, there's two people whose opinions I take very seriously and I'm interested in. And they're, you know, really enjoying it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, I'm not interested in gaming, like, on Twitch. But, you know, I said to you, next time we catch up, let's have a little talk about what we could do with that. Yeah. And, like... And I like them kind of conversations. I was chatting to Pip about it, and because obviously I've been mugging him off about it for the last 2 months, just saying, fucking hell, I don't suppose anyone's fucking seen you lately because you're on Twitch all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, but I know that, like, there's something good happening now, and I know, and hearing him sort of talk about it and just thinking, oh, fucking hell, like, what can we do with that? I just like conversations like that about things that are, like, exciting, new, and people are trying to like have a go at and do something with. And so, ambition's probably a bigger word because you just instantly just think I instantly think of some city type just like being ruthless and you know, stepping on people to get what they want to get. Yeah. That's the furthest thing from what I mean.
I think you like the creative discussion and creation rather than
what I mean. Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. Yeah, so that'd be my number five. I like them, I like that creative kind of element to somebody. I find that, you know, when people talk really passionately about their ideas and the things that they're interested in doing, I find that a really fucking amazing thing.
No, nice one, mate. No, that, I completely agree. My number four, I love just a good arse.
Yeah.
Just a good arse on a girl.
Arse or an arsehole?
Both, really.
Oh, right. Oh, well done.
I'll take both in that package, really. A nice bleached arsehole.
Don't start getting fucking into this, mate. You don't need a boner right now.
No, it's true. So what have I got here? I like people who are self-reflective of their actions.
What?
I I like people who don't mind the vulnerability of being wrong. I prefer human beings like that. I'm not saying that, you know, someone who's constantly fucking up left, right and centre, forever going, oh, sorry, oh yeah, no, I've done that wrong. That sounds like somebody who just doesn't give a shit about how they treat people. But someone who's like capable of going, oh, I might have gone a bit far with that, or oh, I kind of regret saying that, or I'm not proud of this, but I want to be honest about this thing that I've done. I think it's really important. I'm not talking about someone who's neurotic and constantly paranoid, like who's constantly, everything they say, they then send six more messages to, like, I think that's probably not helpful for them to be that neurotic. And you know, often that then pulls into things like fear and small talk of others. But like being able to just reflect on yourself, and one of the, like when I read this and said about top five things I think that make people beautiful, this is going to sound really cringy, but you know, a lot of the thing that I really think my girlfriend's beautiful, like I'm not talking about a cracking ass or her arsehole that I got bleached. I can't believe I just said that.
I don't know what's more offensive, the fact that you've just said that or the fact that you went, but I got bleached. You sent her off to get it done. Get yourself down there. Sort that out with you, girl.
Your ring is so dark, Molly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I said it to her in front of her mum the other day around the dinner table. I don't think the drugs had borne off. Anyway, sorry, back to sensible.
Fucking hell.
Back to being sensible. Like, I can't...
No, back to that.
Oh, of course, I did say anything like that. I've not done any of this. When I think of things that make people beautiful, I think my girlfriend is so beautiful. And I'm not talking about how she looks. She's a very pretty girl. But I mean, like, her behaviours and what she does. And like, whenever we have confrontation in our relationship, you know, Molly will come to me later on and talk to me, and it won't be like, you know, like throwing herself on a sword or like being like super weak or apologetic.
Why not?
She will disagree with me unbelievably. I hate it.
Yeah, that's nice though, because like I get sick of like when you have a disagreement with Pip about something and then he just sends like all them apologetic texts and then he's knocking on the door. Yeah, you just think, yeah. Oh mate, roses. All right, look, we've just had a disagreement. Yeah. Get over it. Yeah, and like, no one needs to see him cry. Do you know what I mean? Thankfully, like, you know, the general public don't often, but like, the amount of times I'm just like, Pip, man, it's like, we're 3 hours in, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I've said it doesn't matter, mate. And it's just like, yeah. I know, but like, you know.
You just got the food order wrong, mate.
I know.
Just suck it up.
Exactly, mate.
But no, Molly will come to me and she'll be like, she'll just say something. And it's just like her reflecting and thinking and seeing how, like, we can both work together, like, to sort of, like, see if there's something where, you know, where she's done something wrong, or where, or something she said, or, you know, behaviours that she could do, or maybe I could do that. And I just think, what a fucking lovely part. Like, I've been in relationships before where, you know, but that people are so insecure that if you make a comment about how dark their arsehole is or something, they'll really say that to us. Sorry, I can't keep complaining this with jokes. But you know when, like, someone will just go, how dare you say that? And then they abuse you over something that you was just trying to, trying to work out. And Molly's never like that. She always listens. She's always self-reflective. And I think that's a really brave and beautiful trait. So that's... That ignore all the bleach in the arsehole talk. That's
you're very good at, like, I don't know if it comes from what you do for a job, but like you're very good at conflict management. The amount of times, like, if you know you've drove me out the wall and I'll ring up going fucking hell, like blah 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 blah. Like, you're very good at just like diffusing a situation and fucking like dealing with things like that. I think you're very like good at calming a situation and kind of like, and also just, you know, if you haven't done something, just gone, yeah, I didn't do that yet, like, sorry. And like, rather than, because I think a lot of the time, a lot of people can quite instantly just get on the defensive, can't they? And like, I think, like, you know, the fact that you live with someone like Molly that's like that as well, then I think that's a really good, you know, strength in your relationship that you both, you know, understand about trying to fucking make the best of a situation as a reason. I think that's really fucking good.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah. What's your number four?
Confidence.
Oh, yeah. So that's my number three as well.
Like, it's my number four. I think confidence is something that I really like in people. And I'm not suggesting that I don't like you if you're not confident.
No.
Like, in the slightest. I've got loads of, like, not loads, I haven't got loads of any friends, but but I've got friends that, you know, have zero confidence, and it's took me years to, you know, to get them to that point.
To get them down to that
level.
To knock them down.
But if I need to feel better about myself, you know, there's got to be, you know, there's levels to it, and I have to ensure that they know their place so I can elevate myself. But I've got, you know, friends that, you know, have no confidence. And you know, I think we're lucky that we have levels of confidence that, you know, I will never walk into a room and go, everyone all right? Like, I just couldn't do that. Like, I'm not that guy, you know. I think you've got more confidence in that kind of
situation. Yeah, but I just think you're a little bit more humble. I don't think that means you're not confident.
Have you got confetti in your beard?
I don't know. What, that? No.
Oh, that. Oh, all right. Yeah, yeah. All right. I think, like, when you meet people, like Mark Watts, who is a former... he hasn't been on this podcast, has he?
I don't think so, not yet.
Just as an example, like, you know, you meet someone like that, and for listeners, we'll have no idea who he is, but he's a mutual friend, and he's larger than life. Like, he will just walk into a room and go, like, oh, how are you? You're right. What do you do now? What's your... And, like, and we'll just work the room for no benefit to himself. He's just a nice person interested in people.
Yeah.
And, like, when I saw that, when I met him for the first time, I was just part of, like, the fucking process of him just going, so, all right, what do you do then? Okay, where are you from? Oh, where do you grow up? Like, and it was like, and I like that. And you know, I just bumped into him for something to do with a bit of work. And, like, and we've been, like, good pals since. And it's like, I love that kind of confidence in people. Like, absolutely. Because I think it's something that I haven't necessarily got bundles of. And so when you see these people that, you know, and I see it in the boxing club with people that, you know, they're just larger than life, like, so confident. And I just think, God, fucking hell, that will really get you out of trouble, that kind of confidence.
It does. And you know why I like it and I find it so attractive? I like human beings backing themselves.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't mean just because my number four was reflect on, you know, don't be scared to be vulnerable or let people know or say, look, I've got that wrong. But also, it's okay to also be confident to back yourself. And it make, you know, I was watching a Liam Gallagher interview the other day, And he just said something. I watched the Supersonic documentary as well for the first time. And some of the things he said just make me absolute crack up. And how he's backing himself. And I just thought, you know what? That is attractive. It's attractive to go, you know what? I can have a go at this. Why not me? And, yeah. You know, and you know, because that confidence is, you know, ultimately, a very, like, the opposite of that is that insecurity. Like, insecurity drives so many negative behaviours. Like, not only do you destroy yourself, but you often then destroy other people around you. And confidence is kind of the opposite of that, going, you know what, I might not be perfect or whatever, but why can't I do that? And actually, I'm going to have a laugh. And confidence is that thing of, it usually comes with that other thing, which is just general positivity. A can do, a yes sort of approach, and you know, that's what you know, we've been built on, right? If you think you can't, then you're probably right. You don't get anywhere. So confidence is a sort of walks hand in hand with the one that you really like, which is the people who want to create and do things. You know, so
yeah,
great shout, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's something lovely about when. No, I don't mean when I say confident, someone that's just brash and like everybody look at me, but just somebody that is comfortable in themselves and will, you know, that kind of being that comfortable just gives them a sense of confidence. And yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, that was my number three. Well done. So I'll skip on to my number two. My number two is your kindness to strangers. So there's nothing more of a there's nothing really much more of a turn off to me than too dark an arsehole, as we've discussed.
Yeah, mate.
But also, like, if I see someone be, if I've been on dates with girls who are rude to strangers, if we're in a restaurant or just in general public, and they're just a bit coarse and rude and defensive, which all stems from insecurities usually, or thinking you're better than someone else. And then you're rude to strangers. It's just like the ultimate turn off for me. It's like the, you know, I just can't stand it. So when I see someone who's just polite and nice, especially to people who they don't see, like, it's really weird to say this, but maybe you, like, they might, like, we all are judgmental, even though I said, like, avoid it. Human beings are almost inherently somewhat judging everything everyone else is doing at all times. And, you know, people who sort of look at someone and go, oh, there's nothing to be gained from that relationship, who are then just dismissive and rude. Or so I like people who are really kind to people who are maybe they work at a train station or something, at a security gate or in the information office, or they're a waiter or waitress or working on the door somewhere. I just love people
that are like below you.
Below you, exactly. Yeah. That's where I'm trying to get to. Me and you are quite high up now, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah, I've kind of elevated myself, like, a little bit higher now, to where, like, I'm almost bored of just being rude to, like, waitresses, you know, cleaners. Generally, like, I put myself above all manual labour now.
Yeah, of course.
I think, like, you
know...
You're
a podcaster now, mate.
Exactly, you're mate. Like, yeah, I walk past building sites. I've been there, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm above that now.
Yeah, mate. You don't have to get your hands
I'm better dirty. Than that, exactly. And, like, and it's not been easy. It's not been... Well, I mean, it has. We've just sat here and talked bollocks. But it's been amazing that, you know, I can look back now and, you know, look at these people, you know, dirty on building sites, or, like... You know, mechanics, like, you know, working on cars, and just thinking, good on you, mate, bless you, but I'm better than you.
Yeah,
now.
You're better than you.
Do you know what I mean?
And, yeah, but then you can be polite to them.
Yeah.
And not, because the initial thing in my stomach is just to be sick on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in being nice to them, I feel, it makes me feel nice.
Absolutely. I feel so much better. Sometimes I'll walk past the building site and there might be some lads doing some dry lining. I'll throw a bit of loose change at them.
Oh, you're a legend.
And, like, and, you know, watching them sort of, like, scamper around the floor trying to sort of pick it up. Like,
some of their dirty little fingers and their dirty little hands.
Like, you know, I feel like, yeah, I just feel like I've made it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, and I think that's the sort of confidence that people like.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're all drawn to. What's your number two then, mate?
People that aren't afraid to be vulnerable. It's actually my number three.
Yeah,
I think that that's really important. Like, you know, just having that. It's not too different from you know the one that you had earlier, but it's really important to just know when, you know, to not necessarily admit when you're wrong, but to just, you know, be susceptible to things and to just go, oh, do you know what, like, yeah, I don't know about that, and I'm not going to try and pretend I do, and like, you know, and ask and things like that. I really like that.
How many deep conversations have we had on this podcast with other people and each other?
I was going to say with other people, yeah. Right.
When we've dared to open up about subjects and just say, you know, what you know, our vulnerabilities are sometimes, or for experiences that we've had, like, you know, people want, I don't know, there's a three dimensionality to that, isn't there? But I think, you know, people, most human beings, when other people open up about their vulnerabilities, hopefully, if you're a good human being, you'll want to support them, you know, and through whatever that is, instead of just sort of be like, oh yeah, and judge them for it. And so, yeah, I think so. I think people who dare to be vulnerable, who don't mind being like, so I'm not saying you've got to wear your heart on your sleeve all the time. I actually think that can be quite an off-putting quality. Oh, I just say, you know me, I'm just sort of kind of guy, just got heart on my sleeve, say what I've, you know, I just tell it like it is. I don't like those human beings.
Yeah, but that's also /stupid.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, just speak my mind. Yeah. Yeah, but your mind's not fucking very well educated, is it?
No, it's dribble. It's dribble. Yeah.
You haven't thought about what your mind's fucking saying. I know what you mean. And I think, like, there's... Yeah, I just find that really... Yeah, that vulnerability just means that, like, you're interested in progressing, you know, being more progressive and, you know, wanting to know more and I think that does make for good conversations. I think, you know, if somebody shows an element of vulnerability, unless you're a fucking cunt, then you respond to that, don't you? And I definitely think you become more vulnerable in your responses to people if you just...
Yeah, I agree. I think it makes you more genuine.
Yeah.
And, like, I think authenticity is super important. I almost regret that not being my number one now. But, yeah, I think that all gives you an authenticity.
Yeah.
That you don't always have to be fronting about things.
Well, before we get to your number one, shall I chuck my number two in then?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I was thinking that.
I like people that are self-styled.
Oh, yeah, that's a good shout, yeah.
Like, almost eccentric. Tie-dye, yep, definitely. Probably one of the only people in their 40s that are wearing that. Fair play. Congratulations. definitely unique. But like, not necessarily just meaning in dress sense, but just in just how they live their life. Just that people have... I guess it's a similar thing to sort of confidence in some respects.
Yeah. It's the cousin of confidence, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what that means. But, I think there's something really impressive when you just look at someone and just go, they're their own person. Like, they know who they are. And, like... And
bleach their arsehole a different colour. Not just go lighter. Sometimes go, like, blue.
Yeah.
Like, I think they call it the hyperthermia dye. Makes you look really cold.
Mm. Oh, like global hypercolour. Like,
yeah.
You like you got your arsehole's like a chameleon. But you look at the people that we surround ourselves with, and they are all very self-styled. And I think that's, you know, when you get to the ages that I am and you know, that you're fast approaching, you know, you do choose your friends more carefully, and you hold on to your friends that you know that you've had, and I sometimes, you know, often add that to my gratitude list, you know, the friends that I've got, and they're, you know, and I'm fiercely proud of them because they're all very. And when we done that live show in Grays, and we looked out into the crowd,
just saw a bunch of cunts.
he was there actually, but it was just fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Like to just go look. There's all of our friends here. There's famous bands. There's fucking artists. There's writers. There's poets. There's fucking clothes designers. There's like
that drunk photographer girl.
There's that drunk photographer girl. And it was just like, what a fucking great little fucking bunch of people, you know, that are, you know, we've got in our lives that are all very unique in their own way and self-styled, and I'm not suggesting that I haven't got friends that aren't creative at all. I've got you know, friends outside of them circles, but I do really, really like it when you look at someone and just go, oh yeah man, like you know, Scroobius Pip's as self-styled as it fucking gets.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
He's all these things. He's a beautiful human being.
How many people do you know that fucking wear socks that add up and fucking two watches? Yeah, what a cunt.
No, thinking about it, I've just got to do a 180 now, straight away. I nearly called it beautiful, and I'm like, no. Yeah.
What's your number one?
I like a well-waxed rat. I think if I was to say what makes someone really beautiful, I think it's that. You know,
smooth just, as an eel. Yeah, eat your dinner off it. Eel.
Yeah. So you literally can.
Yeah.
There's no pulling tears out your teeth and go down on it.
It's like Teflon.
Yeah, exactly. A Teflon chuff. I think probably a sense of humour. I think.
Oh, that's my number one.
Oh, right. Nice. Yeah, I think ultimately, like, life is a funny old thing. One of the most important thing is your perspective on it. And like, life is savage. Life does loads of savage things. We just did a podcast about me getting a bit of my dick cut off, and some people, I guess in one way it's no big deal at all, because it's a minor operation. You have to be, you know, this is a minor thing. Before I had my operation, I was thinking my dad had half his colon removed, and I'm worried about having a bit of unnecessary skin cut off. And it gave me a big bit of perspective on, you know, on problems that you have to face in life. But again, perspective is humour. And I love people who can just see things from a humorous angle. And they can have levity even when, you know, it's the work. Like, we have some savage things happen to us, Stu, and we'll still take the piss out of each other over it. And I never feel insecure about when you dig me out about those things. I always just... You know, I just enjoy it. It's attractive in other people. Like, Molly's got a sense of her own sense of humour. It's very kind of quite different to mine in many ways. We have overlaps, but you know, there's nothing more of the fun than me and her goofing off with each other as well. So I find you know, having that ability to be silly, or in one way or another, there's all sorts of ways you can be funny. It's so attractive. And it's witty, isn't it? It comes back to that creativity thing you said, mate. Like, to make something funny is about, well, there's different ways, but misdirection or seeing a different angle of something and trying to extrapolate something that's worth laughing about, you know, making it ironic. That's definitely attractive, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I know we spoke about Pip way too much on today's episode. Mm-hmm. He said something on our little group thread the other day that made me laugh so much.
What one was it? You
know? It was when we were talking about going wild swimming.
Oh, and you said, brilliant. You said, it was so clever.
I asked my doctor.
And he said no.
And he said no. Yeah. Pitt replied. It's a shame, he probably would have had a good time.
Honestly, I thought, I was just like, I nearly texted him and said, well played.
I did. I sent him one independently just going, mate, that's fucking
It was
quality.
Really clever. He is like, we said this before though, he really is witty as fuck. I guess we can bang him.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing better than... you know, even like when you're with your friends, you know, and you know, a prime example being coming home from Dublin, right? We'd laughed all weekend and then you was broken. And and it was just like, right, what more can I do to just fucking fuck him up and make myself laugh? And ultimately, the pain you was in, you'd still laugh. And it was because there's something brilliant about when you have people that have similar sense of humour to you, and you know where the barrier, you know where the bar is, and it's safe to say that with us, and I'm sure loads of people that are listening to this, we're not unique in any way, shape, or form, are we? Like, the bar's quite high, and like, you know, the amount of times we've discussed our parents, and generally some level of sex or nakedness, you know. And some people get very fucking uncomfortable with stuff like that, and like, and very like, what? Yeah. But I think it's a joke, and it comes from.
It's the intent.
And yeah, and you also know that. I think you put yourself in a position where you've got your friends with a great sense of humour, and you know that it's just to get a laugh. It's just to make you laugh, and like, and there's nothing better than fucking having a laugh, is there? No. It's the best fucking feeling ever.
Absolutely is, mate. Yeah.
And like, I literally was the amount of fucking joy I got from that fucking text message you sent me about that bloke looking at your dick when you was having it inspected, like, literally made me laugh so much that I need to share this with other people because I want them to laugh, or I've just laughed at that. And I know that so many people that are, you know, that will find that funny, will really find that funny. And I think there's that's super important, isn't it? Just like that quality in someone where you can make a joke, and there's nothing worse than when you're in an environment and you have to kind of compromise your sense of humour.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of, you know, smirk and kind of, not smirk, but like crack a false smile at somebody that's saying something that's not funny at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But I went to a party once, and there was this guy there. And he was, I'd never met him before. He was my age. And it was like a kind of, it was a fancy dress party, but all built around like the business. So it was all like 80s casuals. He'd obviously spent a fortune on his outfits. He had like fucking Fila BJ and he had the full fucking works on. And I was there with like a few of my friends, and it was one of my very good friends' birthdays. And I felt very comfortable in that environment. And I wasn't being loud or anything, but I just felt comfortable. He'd asked me to do a bit of DJing, so I'd done a little bit of DJing. This guy was definitely that you could tell was like a jock at school. And it was so weird that like he went out of his way to assert himself in front of me as like an alpha male character. And I was like, why is he doing, what's his fucking problem here? Like, and because like I'd be chatting with my mates and we'd all be laughing, and he had no sense of humour whatsoever, this fella, but his sense of humour was, let's take the piss out of people in front of these yes men that were around him. And it was really weird because he come up and I went, hello mate, you alright? And he went, yeah, I know you are. And I was like, do you? He said, yeah, you went to Willie Ed's, didn't you? And I went, why are we talking about what school I went to? Like, because now when you think, like, and he went, yeah, I went to blah, blah, like, yeah, do you know blah, 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 yeah, he's my mate, do you know? And he was like, and he was talking about, like, tough kids from a school from, like, 20 fucking 30 years ago. Now when you think, mate, like, we see an episode of Friends where, like, fucking Rachel just keeps wanting to go out with a fucking cool guy from school who still works in a cinema. It was like that. And in the end, I went for a wee and I had to walk down the garden to the from the bar down to his house. And he was sitting there with all his yes men and he dug me out.
Oh, really?
And, like, and I'd had a lot to drink and I just thought, And I just literally just walked over and I was like, I don't know what your fucking problem is, mate. But if you've got a problem, we'll go out the front and we'll sort it out right now.
And I can just imagine you doing that.
And then like one of my mates strolled over and was like, come, Roy, let's go and have a drink. And like, and it just shut him up and it shut his mates up. Like, not that his mates were an issue. They were just fucking, like, laughing at him because he'd asserted himself in front of them or something. Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to be the alpha male. No. Like, I just wanted to have a fucking good time with my friends. But I think he didn't like the fact that my sense of humour translated to him as confidence.
Yeah.
And the fact that me and my friends were laughing and it was like, well, why is there something going on over there? Why is there funny things happening there and I'm not involved in it? Why am I not the epicenter of this? Yeah. And like, and that is a fucking horrible trait to have in someone. Yeah. Like, because, yeah, we do traits that we don't like, I'm sure. But I don't even know why I've gone off on a tangent about this story. But
it's safe to say you really fancied that guy, though. I think that's really what this is boiling down to.
I just think I was just more of a fucking man.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.